Oh, everything on the internet is triggering me. Welcome, oh my. We apparently have a special person working the board today and a very special episode of Incident Report. It's our 80th episode, Z-Pack, 80. 80, just incident reports, and we've done 19 against medical advices. That makes almost 100, if my math is correct, almost 100 episodes. So we're on our 99th episode. Give it up, give it up, give it up. Teresa Heineber.
Woo! Woo! Oh my God, I'm so triggered right now.
You are really triggered. I mean, I've never seen you so triggered, Tom. Like, what happened to your whole...
You posted a really rude Doc Vader clip claiming I didn't know my body. I'm a certified Reiki nutritionist, okay? So you're way out of line, guy.
Yeah, guy.
You know, honestly, calling me guy kind of triggers me because that was what like all my professors called me because they didn't know my name because I always went to big schools where there were 600 people in a class. So I would appreciate it if you called me by my name, which is Dr. Z-Dog MD Esquire.
Well, I would appreciate it if you realized that I knew my body.
You don't know your body, okay? Vader knows your body. That's right. Trigger warning. Okay? Listen to me, Z-Pack. we're talking about being triggered today. And and this actually has a special relevance because it's our 80th episode. Part of our goal here is to be able to have the conversations that no one else can have, especially in healthcare, because they're afraid of triggering someone. Or they're so triggered themselves that they can't speak. They get verklempt like this guy over here.
I'm triggered because you won't admit that the moon is full of cleansing energy.
It's true.
I never said the moon wasn't full of cleansing energy, dude. Like, that's a deep-held belief of mine. And it triggers me, honestly, that you don't respect the fact that I know the moon is full of healing energy.
I also am triggered because my friend Becky went to Coachella without me. It's just so rude.
Anyways, so the reason we're talking about being triggered today is many, many reasons. For one, there was an article in the National Review, a very liberal paper, I understand, that was talking about how, for the first time, a plurality... Oh, I see. You're going to that camera now? Is that how we're doing it? The camera you said we're not going to use because it can make you look ugly? That's the camera you're going to give me now? Well, you know what? Now I'm triggered. Again. You see this face? This is the face of someone who's triggered.
Hey, I know my body and it's bored, so get back on the topic.
You're bored. Okay. Listen. For the first time, a plurality of medical students feels that trigger warnings in medical education might be appropriate. Let me back up a second. What the hell is a trigger warning, Logan? You know these things.
Well, I'm not a communist, see, so I don't.
It's like a spoiler alert for your feelings.
It's a spoiler alert for your feelings. That's probably the most succinct and yet simultaneously disturbing description of a trigger warning that I've ever heard in my life. I think that's about accurate. It's basically giving people a heads up that, hey, what's about to come may trigger some of you. It may be a emotional reaction. It may be a deep hurt. It may be butt hurt, which is an inappropriate offense given the magnitude of the stimulus. And then the magnitude four crime, as I like to call it, butt hurt by proxy. That's where you are butt hurt on behalf of someone else or some other class, sex, race, person that isn't you. But you take offense for them and on behalf of them with or without them asking you to do so. That is a butt hurt by proxy or ICD-10-23XD.012, butt hurt by proxy, not otherwise specified. Anyway, so in this National Review article, they were talking about how it may not be appropriate for medical students. And then that's the cover of that now. Okay, first of all, I'm triggered by this freaking stock photo they used.
They're like really sexy, like especially that one guy. I mean, come on, right? You know?
He looks like he's hiding, his hair is hiding an entire nest of sarlaccs. Like, it's like if Justin Bieber had sex with Vin Diesel and then they fell into a Rogaine pit. That's what that guy looks like. And look at the people behind him. They're like, oh my God, look at Mr. Hair. Or should I say Dr. Hair? Or should I say medical student hair?
Okay, are you just being like triggered because you like have no hair? Is that what's going on, Mr. Guy?
I'm gonna move on to the article now. So the Mr. Guy, it's Dr. Guy, asshole. All right, I didn't go to 4 years of evil Mr. School to be called Dr. Guy. Wait, what? A plurality of medical students support trigger warnings. So here's the thing. If you're in class and you learn something or they talk about something that might trigger people, I'm going to be very worried that you need to be warned about that because guess what? You're going to be a doctor someday. Stuff is going to trigger you. All the time. Why do you? Oh, don't you dare put that camera on me, Logan Stewart. Don't you put that evil on me.
It's the rant camera.
Listen. Okay. I went to 4 years of medical school. I did 3 years of residency. I practiced for 10 years at a major academic center. If I were easily triggered, okay, I would be nothing but a walking triggered, whatever that looks like. In healthcare, we have to toughen up to a degree. We have to be able to deal with other people's shit constantly in a way that does not reflect to them that we are triggered. So giving people warnings, okay, this is gonna trigger you, doesn't seem to me, and maybe I'm overreacting, maybe I'm triggered, because part of my own elephant, my own unconscious is like, look, all my career, I've wanted to say what's on my mind. I've wanted to be myself, and I haven't been able to do it because I'm worried about triggering somebody, either triggering the defensiveness of an attending who doesn't like a medical student who talks when he's not spoken to, or just making a joke that might offend somebody. So to kind of tie that up in a nice little bag, a dark side bag, today we put out a really funny clip by Doc Vader where he rants about this particular phenotype of patient interaction. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the, Tom, can you go ahead and act it out for me? Hi, Ms. Heineber. It's good to see you in the clinic today. Look, I know you have upper respiratory symptoms and all that, but I don't think antibiotics are good because this will just get better with time.
Yeah, I'm gonna need like 60 Norcos because I know my body, so just do that for me or I'll fucking rip you an asshole on Yelp. So just do it, guy.
That's the interaction we're talking about, okay? It's the I know my body interaction, which often comes in the package of someone who is seeking narcotics or is otherwise in the goop, alternative David Avocado Wolf spectrum of I know my body, therefore I'm not gonna put vaccines in it, or something along those lines. That was the joke that Vader was trying to make. He was also being an asshole, because that's what Vader does. He's health 1.0. He's actually health 0.0. He is the oldest of the old school, the Dark Knight. There can only be two, a master and an apprentice, and he is both. What happened to the TV behind you, Logan Stewart?
Saw, or wait, no, The Ring.
The Ring.
That girl from The Ring is gonna climb out, I'm scared.
Are you triggered?
Yeah.
Did the static
trigger you? She was scary in that movie about the videotape.
You're totally triggered by this now, the static. So Vader is the voice of health 1.0, the outraged, sort of burned out, more machine than man doc. And he's making fun of these two phenotypes. But it's interesting. So in the comments, a lot of people were severely butthurt. What about chronic disease? What about shared decision making? What about health 3.0? What about listening to the patient and hearing their story and honoring it? What about all the things you talk about, Z-Dog, that you've just absolutely destroyed with a character named Doc Vader, who clearly is you? No. No. The whole point of Vader is to illustrate, to shine a light on the health 1.0 type of thinking, but also to satirize some of the shit we go through every day in healthcare. If we can't laugh at ourselves, if we can't laugh at the situation, right, then we are cray cray. Now, you're gonna get some comments that are like, yeah, no patient should ever be listened to. That's wrong too, right? The answer is, if you're trying to do health 3.0, it's a shared decision-making model, but that doesn't mean you let a patient say, I want Norco because I know my body and you're going to give me Norco. No, it's shared decision making, which means you both have a choice. The way Vader presents it, it's all his decision because he read the owner's manual and Vader knows your body. Am I wrong, Teresa Heineber?
I know my body, and my body is drunk right now because I love booze.
You love booze?
Yeah.
You love essential oils too, I understand.
That's right.
You know what you don't love? Science.
Science is fake news. So.
Did you watch the eclipse, Teresa Heineber?
Yeah, but you know what had happened was NASA had CGI'd the whole thing, so I didn't believe it because I'm not stupid. Okay, I know my body.
You know NASA's moon body?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I know my body, and so therefore I know everybody's body and the moon, which is a celestial body.
By the way, let me just say something, Tom Heineber. The fact that you chose to put on a wig to do this is going to trigger a lot of people, including me a little bit, because it's not a male-female dichotomy here. People get butthurt on all ends of the gender spectrum.
Is this sexist-y, or is this just making fun of one very particular type of woman who's the worst?
I know a lot of guys that are even worse, man. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And I'm looking at you, Logan.
What?
Because you're the biggest hippie on the planet. This is the whole conservatism thing that Logan tries to front. It's all front. He's like, I got guns, Z. Then I go home and I got essential oils and I won't vaccinate Landon because, like, toxins and stuff. Lots
so
of toxins.
Like, guy, did you ever get triggered during medical school?
Yeah, sure, I got triggered during medical school. I mean, well, okay, listen, let's back up a second. What is this whole triggered thing? Now, there are some legitimate instances where people, where you do want to watch out. If someone has post-traumatic stress disorder, if someone had serious childhood trauma, there are going to be certain things that are going to trigger them, meaning they're going to cause either the reemergence of painful memories or they're actually a recrudescence of this, meaning they're getting bullied or there is some problem where they're discriminated against, something else is going on, and it's legit. And when we backlash against the trigger warning, are we actually potentially harming people who are legitimately discriminated against? I often get messages from people who are butthurt, and they come in a couple of flavors. The first flavor, Teresa,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
is your flavor.
Mm.
You mean
vanilla?
Yeah, go ahead. Send me a letter. You're angry about a video I did.
Yeah.
How does it sound, Tom? Teresa.
It sounds like this. You are a jerk, okay? And you look like a human penis, and that's triggering for me.
It's like you read my mail, Tom Heineber. That's exactly so. You're a human penis, you're a jerk, you can't be a doctor, I hope you die, I hope your children die, et cetera, all because you said something about vegans, say, and they were triggered because veganism is a religion.
Oh, not the vegans, Z.
Not a nutritional plan. I'm kidding. It can be a nutritional plan. It's also a religion. So in that sense, those messages get deleted because this is someone who is triggered, who is acting entirely from elephant, who has no right or no rational strategy or way to convince someone or persuade someone beyond, oh my God, you hurt my elephant's nutsack, and I'm gonna strike back with a trunk that's very gnarly and also quite stupid and illogical. That's what the elephant does. It's the shitty first draft. They hit send, boom, I get it, it gets deleted. The second type of message is this. Hi, Z-Dog, I'm a big fan of what you do. I love this about this video and this about this show, and I loved it when you did this. That being said, here's why I'm upset about something that you did. Either I happen to be a victim of X, Y, and Z, and that really is hurtful for those of us who have this, so I just wanted to put it on your radar that sometimes you might say things without intending to hurt. Now, let me say why that's a good way to express being triggered. Number one, it comes from a place of rational discourse, and it's clear that the person is thinking before they hit send because they're saying some nice things and some constructive criticism. The second thing is they're telling you that they're not impugning your intention. So they're not saying, so part of the reason I think people tend to get triggered is they assume malicious intent on the part of the triggering person. So if you're in a medical school lecture and the lecturer says, well, you know, I remember this happened in medical school for us, okay? Okay, we're looking at the vaginal mucosa and everything's nice and pink in there.
Yum.
And someone got triggered, and this was in the 90s, raised her hand and said, "We're, you know, some of us are, you know, different races and we're not all pink in there," and was doing this kind of thing. And everybody in the class was like, okay, who hurt you? Because yes, everybody actually is pink in their vaginal, pinkish in their vaginal mucosa. That's why it's mucosa. So you can stand up. It degrades the cause of whatever social justice you're fighting for if you're painting everything with the same insane brush. So that, I think, is part of the problem. So when I get those messages, like if I get a message from someone who's trans and they're in healthcare and they say, you know, you said something on the show that kind of triggered me a bit. It was this. Please remember that those of us who struggle with this, that affects me. I say, you know what? That I understand. I wasn't sensitive to that. I didn't mean to hurt you. And they know that. And we have a conversation and it always ends well. That's how we have discourse, right? You talk about it. So part of the reason I get upset about the whole trigger warning thing is it shuts down the discourse before it ever begins, right? I mean, what do you think, Teresa?
You just gotta talk it out, you know? Like, sometimes I'll go and I'll order a double macchiato, venti espresso, triple shot, no foam, and the baristas always get it wrong, but I don't get mad. I go in there and I just say, hey, you're being really stupid right now and you look dumb, okay? So fix my order. And then they do, and we have a great relationship after that.
Jessica Evans says, as a medical student, I didn't know I was allowed to be triggered, LOL. That's it, Jessica. I mean, that's exactly it. When I was a medical student, you weren't allowed to be triggered. You sucked it up and you went on. Is that the best answer for mental sanity? Not always. Were there times when I was super pissed off? Sure. You know what? I even had, I had attending physicians when I was a resident who were clearly pretty old school, either sexist or racist, but they played it off as if they were neither. And the more they tried to play it off that they weren't, the more it was very clear that they had a deep set of biases. That was all fine. In a way, we would recognize it and then go back to the team room and be like, oh my God, dude, that guy's such a racist. It's hilarious. Do you remember when he said that the reason that person's not DNR is that they're black? And we were like, yeah, that's so racist. And then we sat down and we're like, but wait a minute now, I've kind of noticed that in the African American community, there is a distrust towards DNR code status because there's a feeling that the team is giving up or not giving them the same care that someone else might get. So maybe we ought to actually at least think about, is that a thing? So even having the conversation, triggering the conversation is good, but if you're shutting down discourse, and this came up, John Haidt, one of my favorite psychologists, moral psychologist, Sam Harris, they disagree on a lot of things, two of my heroes. They had a podcast where they got on together and they argued about this and they agreed on this, that shutting down discourse in academic settings, and that probably includes medical school, but they were talking about colleges in particular, with triggers and safe spaces and this kind of thing, where now people just have a recourse to go complain to the dean, and there's a tribunal brought up and all the professor was doing was talking about morality and different designations and cultural distinctions of disgust. And now he's in front of some tribunal. Is that a way to have a dialogue and an open discourse on a college campus, which I thought that was the point of it, right? So that's why I hate butthurt.
It was really interesting too, because John Haidt said that if you force diversity, it will totally backfire on you, you know?
Explain that more to me. What was he saying when he said
that? He was saying that if you use diversity as like a vengeful tactic, that it backfires. It actually has the opposite result and creates less diversity, right? He's one of my favorite social scientists.
You might have just said the smartest thing I've ever heard you say in a wig, but it's the idea of trying to culturally engineer certain things. It's very, very hard to do. But, you know, then the question is, how do you react to Charlottesville or something like that, where you have real dipshittery going on, right? And what do you respond to? So, again, let's have the dialogue, guys. Don't shut it down. If you're going to get triggered, look, if you're going to get triggered by a Doc Vader video, first of all, you got bigger problems in your life because there's lots of other stuff that's probably more relevant to the natural order and stability of the world than, you know, me in a suit talking shit.
But if you are, you know, make your point. The point is the comments are there to have the dialogue, and the idea is to trigger a conversation. So if people come back and say, no, you know, a lot of people do know their body, people with chronic disease, people with rare diseases, people with Ehlers-Danlos, people with, you know, chronic illness, inflammatory conditions, they know when something's wrong. And when the doctors don't listen, there were plenty of examples of when things shit went really bad. Ectopic pregnancies that rupture, postpartum hemorrhage. We did a whole show on how moms are dying in the peripartum period, oftentimes because people aren't listening or looking at the signs. And mom does kind of know her body. So again, we're not trying to paint it all in a brush. It's satire on one level. It's pointing out the whole phenomenon in another. And that's what we try to do. So I hope you see it that way. And if you don't, you can fuck off.
Amber says, everyone has been using the words triggered recently. How did this trend start?
Isn't it like it's come up in this sort of right versus left political discourse where like this idea of I'm triggered, it's like the right's way of insulting the liberal snowflakes. And then the liberals fight back and say, you're an asshole who doesn't care about anybody else's shit except for your own, and it goes on and on and on and on. Am I missing the point on this? Did I get this wrong?
I think it's starting on college campuses because today's children don't spend enough time independently away from their parents so that when they get to college, they're confronted with their first real adversarial life circumstances, and then they're totally triggered. So they go to the dean and they're like, oh my God, you have to help me. And then, you know, there's like a diversity training course or something. I don't know.
I think what you're talking about is this shift in phenomenology where children are helicoptered quite a bit, where a series of high-profile kidnappings in the 70s forced sort of parents to kind of no longer do you just go to the store by yourself as a kid. In fact, it can be illegal if you're under 8 or something in certain states to let your kid just go somewhere by themselves unsupervised. And this has changed the culture where children now look to the parents much more for security, stability, and that sort of lean on where feelings can't get hurt, you can't suffer injuries, you can't have those things happen, it can translate in an academic setting to, oh my God, I was triggered. He's not supposed to hurt me like that. Why am I feeling uncomfortable? What he said made me feel uncomfortable. I'm going to go to the dean and I'm going to complain because he's the nearest authority figure and that's how I'm conditioned. It's really not anyone's fault except for those doing the conditioning.
Liliana Cook says we need to discuss ableism. Do you know what ableism is? Because I don't.
I have no idea what that is.
Explain it, Liliana.
You're gonna have to tell us, Ms. Cook, because I don't know what that is. Trigger was a horse, says Jan Stewart. Yes, that's right. Was that was Trigger the horse in Toy Story or?
What? No.
Or was it Gunsmoke?
Maybe. I don't remember. But I'm getting really triggered because everybody is saying that my wig makes me look thirsty. Okay? It's not even Thirsty Thursday yet, you guys. Stop it.
Teresa, someone said that you should stop smoking cloves.
Yeah, I need a lozenge because my voice is a little off today. Normally I sound more feminine.
Feminists started triggered, in my opinion, says Heather Witt. Not like the normal ones, the super ones who probably would be triggered if you said they look nice and pink inside. Oh! Oh, I'm triggered by that statement. Carrie Bennett, we still have 20 or 30-something-year-old patients whose moms call us to make appointments.
My mom calls for all my appointments. It's great. And then we go to Pinkberry after, and I'm 29.
Speaking of Pinkberry, is your mom present at your pelvic exams to chaperone? Because that's...
Yeah, she advocates for me. She's my patient advocate, because you need that, because doctors are only in it for money, and you need somebody to look after your welfare.
So is she always pushing that... You know, they get that extra swab around the os and, you know, make sure that the pap is, you know, done 4 or 5 times just to be safe. And
yeah, totally. I don't know what any of that means, but yeah.
I'm going to say 2 words right now, and they mean a lot. Bartholin's gland. Oh God, says Autumn Braun. That's the accurate.
Oh, ableism is discrimination in favor of able-bodied people.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it's like some bullshit.
Wow.
What?
Wow, so that's called like, well,
being
I don't
normal.
Even know which camera to look at.
This one.
That's called, like, all of human history has been ableism.
It's like if you were building a house and you had to hire a guy to do the roof and there was one guy in a wheelchair and then you didn't hire him. That would be discriminatory.
Right, because I'd have to build a special ramp to get to the roof for that gentleman, which would be a challenge economically for me. So there's always a push and a pull. Now, when I interviewed Dr. Pete Poulos, We talked a little bit about this, the fact that he's often ridiculed for riding around his Segway around the hospital because he's unable to easily walk without it. And when he put a handicap sticker on the Segway, he got a lot less shit. So people didn't think he was just an able-bodied douchebag. They said, no, he actually has a challenge and has to use the Segway. So, you know, look, I think over time, society continues to improve. People seem not to believe this, but I think it does. It's just you're going to see fits and starts and waves of progress and retreat. And we have to have dialogue, guys. Like a civil society begins and with dialogue, and it ends with shutting down dialogue. And that's why I worry about trigger warnings and butt hurt and all the other stuff. I don't know. What do I know? I'm just a rapping doctor who sits at a table looking at his phone. I don't know. Holly Stevenson says your voice equals migraine, yo.
Yeah, it can be really trying to listen to me.
By the way, I want to talk about your shirts. Teresa has a team nursing shirt. Logan is wearing the equivalent shirt with a different logo on it. And I got these shirts from a Mr. Sam Tal, T-A-A-L. He has the Sam Tal Global Foundation, and he is building, let me see if I can show you a picture of this. He is building a clinic in Africa, and those shirts are a way to raise funds. He can leave a link to the shirts in the comments. Let me see if I can play this video. Oh my God, I can't play the video. Here it is. See, the Sam Tal, oh wait a minute, here we go. Try this, Logan. The Sam Tal Global Foundation, so he's actually using the money from these shirts. This is the beginning of their clinic wall foundation. And I like that. I like free shirts. I like free healthcare that is given to people who need it in Africa. So, Sam, thank you for that. What do we got here? Oh, there he is. So he on Facebook, he's Fams Tal, F-A-M-S-T-A-A-L. I'm gonna hit like on his comment. Check out the shirts. Tom and Teresa and Logan are rocking. Best believe it. That shirt is. Cause is constructing a healthcare center in a poor African village, and he puts a link in there.
That's hey, great. You shut your mansplaining mouth. Holly Stevenson has a comment. She says, you're saying we have to have, this voice hurts my voice. You're saying we have to have dialogue, but then you say F off to anyone who gets it or disagrees.
Yeah,
love you, Z, but I'm totally triggered.
I think you misunderstood what I said. I said, I want to have a dialogue. I want to hear your comments. But if you're so triggered that you're going to be the type one email, you're a jerk and you have a penis head and I hate you.
Don't do my voice. You're triggering me. I don't like mockery.
Do my teeth trigger you too? Because they're so.
I'm triggered. I'm so triggered.
Oh, yeah, so don't be triggered. I love you guys, CPAC. You know I love you. I like to talk a lot of shit. That's what I do. You guys wouldn't come here if I didn't talk shit. Some of you would, but most of you wouldn't. Maybe you would. I don't know, guys. I'm having an identity crisis, okay? Oh, Lord have mercy, Autumn Braun. She always has the same comment. God, please. Lordy, why? Stephanie McCandless Freeberg. I was in an online group discussing self-harm. My daughter was going through it at the time. I'm sorry, Stephanie. And my post was edited because the words I used were triggers that could cause others to self-harm that read it.
Wow.
So look, it's gotten to the point, look, and this, I have some sympathy to this because if you're in a suicide group and you're talking about different ways you can kill yourself, those words can actually enable others to carry out stuff. We've seen studies for that. But the problem is there is a thing called free speech. There is a thing called having a dialogue, and there is a thing where you do have to work to understand all viewpoints, even ones that you don't agree with. And so calling something triggered, it's a slippery slope to where you're really shutting down their ability to express themselves, whatever it is.
I think the big problem with saying triggered is that I can't know what feelings I'm gonna produce in you, you know, just by living my truth. I don't know.
I think you're spot on that, Teresa Heinover, because it's impossible to know. Look, we all know that one or two coworkers or friends who you walk on eggshells. Anything you say might trigger them to be upset or take it the wrong way, or they're hyper, hypersensitive. And how much fun is that, hanging out with those people? It's kind of like, oh, dear God, I can't say anything. You make a joke, they take it the wrong way. You're constantly in this sort of thing. And look, sometimes there's just a miswiring there where you know, the social osmostat is off, and that's cool, and you want to be compassionate to that. But, you know, it's not a lot of fun. If there's a way we can kind of maybe create a culture where it's okay to have a dialogue.
I'm going to tell a secret, Z, okay? Mm. We have someone in studio who is very easily triggered, and his name is Tad.
This guy, all right, the other day, me and Tom were sitting here, we were doing some work, writing some lyrics, and I was like, hey, Tom, check it out. I'm an ambulance. Woo, 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 woo. You know what he did? He came, he was like, hit me right on the face, because he was triggered, because he's clearly an EMT. He doesn't want to be reminded of work when he's off the clock. And I reminded him, I'm like, you're on the clock all day, bitch, because you're mine. I own you. And then he was like, I'm not your slave. And I was like, God, he used the S word. And the whole thing devolved into a shouting match where Logan had to ultimately referee by bringing us both Chipotle burrito bowls, which solved the problem.
Kendra says, oh God, Teresa, what could possibly be your truth? Well, easy. I believe you need to live, laugh, love, and lick.
What? Cheryl Kilpatrick, I think the crux of the problem is that everyone now thinks the world revolves around them. Yes! It doesn't. I revolve around the world. This is what it is. That's science. God damn it, Logan! Don't make me come over there and I don't know what. Like, scratch myself. Glock versus 1911. Now that's a trigger. That's true, Philip Cipolletta.
1911. Tech. Glocks are plastic guns for girls.
I have a Glock 19. Yeah.
Teresa carries a Glock because it's her equivalent of mace or a rape whistle. She carries an actual weapon.
Yeah, except I shoot first because you never know who might rape. So I just kill people indiscriminately.
This is where it all falls apart, like as if it hadn't fallen apart yet. Liz Mongieri, L-I-C-K. That's right. That's one of Teresa's truths. Triggers fixed by food. Great Snickers commercial. Oh hell yeah, that's true. How can you be triggered when you have a big old Snickers in your mouth and your insulin levels?
Holly Stevenson says Doc Vader definitely thinks the world / universe / galaxy revolves around him. That's so true. He's such an egomaniac. No, I keep telling him like, no, you can't have my number, and he keeps like asking for it.
You're very wrong. Doc Vader doesn't think the world revolves around him. He knows it to be true. Search your feelings. The entire 6 movies revolved around Vader. All right? I'm just saying. What do you think, Teresa?
I think it's time to like, wrap it up.
Oh my gosh, it's like our 80th episode.
Yeah.
Oh, group hug.
This is my first episode, actually, but now I'm gonna be the new co-host. Hi!
Hi, everyone!
Hi, you guys!
It's so smelly back here.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
I
you
know.
Guys. Wow.
I didn't shower after I went to the gym today.
You sweated up my favorite. That was my tay-tay.
I look like Garth from Wayne's World's Ugly Sister. That's what I look like.
You sound like him, too.
Yeah. God. All right, I think it's time to call the code.
You guys, listen, our 20th episode of Against Medical Advice this Sunday is going to feature none other than the legendary Cybabe. Talk about someone who inflicts the trigger.
That's right. She wrote my favorite article ever, which is called David Avocado Wolf is an Asshole.
Wait,
it's great.
I thought you loved the wolf.
Dude, no, I don't like him anymore because avocados are full of fat.
I'm hungry like the wolf. Yeah. It's gonna be great. You guys have to come join us for that. We're gonna talk hella shit. And science! Hit me, Logan.
Science.
Science!
Let me do one, let me do one. Starbucks!
I love you, Z-Pack. Don't be triggered. We love you. And we're out.
Go, go, go. This wig is like so itchy.
I hate you so much, Teresa Heinover.